Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Obviously I say we wish you a Merry Christmas, but it's just me by myself at the moment, except Eva's coming over later on, which would be lovely. Merry Christmas, everyone. I hope you're all well and happy and doing good. This is just a one-off Murder Mile Christmas special. I just thought I'd do you a special episode. So whatever you're doing today, whether you're with family or whether you're kind of by myself, well, you're not by myself. I'm by myself currently at the moment. I thought I'd do you a little episode so you can all enjoy it, whether you're on a little walk later on and you're looking to escape everyone and you're like, I just want some freedom. Or, you know, you are by yourself and you're just having a good time. So, I just wanted to wish you all a Merry Christmas. Whew, what am I doing? It's early on Christmas morning. Very early. Nice and early. Birds have been tweeting and tweeting, but they've kind of shut up now, which is very, very nice. As mentioned, we got the parakeets up in the trees above. The big green birds, they've been twittering away. They've now gone really quiet. The coots have kind of gone a bit quiet. And that's it. So I've kind of done my work for the year, which is great. So let's plough in. What's been going on? Murder Mile is done for the year, thank God. So hopefully you've received all of the four-parters for the Four Faces of the Camden Ripper. Hope you all enjoyed that. That was an interesting episode to do, something different. What else have I done? You'll get the Omnibus Edition, which will probably come out today. I know some people don't want it, but do you know, some people do like to listen to them all in a run without the waffle at the end. That's why I do it, so you can make the choice, but also you will receive this. You can listen to this if you like the extra mile. If not, just delete it. Not a problem at all. Although, there is a competition coming up shortly, and a very exciting kind of message from a certain Murder Mile celebrity. Ooh, excitement. Anyway, yes, I mean, that's worth working your way through all the waffle for. Anyway, what's happening this morning? I'm going to put on some bacon sarnies soon because my friend Col is going to be coming past. I have just had a COVID test done, so I'm making sure that I'm kind of, we're socially distancing, but also I'm making sure that I've had a test done to make sure that I'm safe so he can come over. He's a healthcare worker, so he actually gets regularly tests, so we're all doing it very carefully. And then Amy is coming along later on, so that'll be good. So we're doing bacon sandwiches first, and then the vegan turns up. Yes, bacon sandwiches first, then the vegan turns up. So that's good. COVID test was easy. Done. I did it because I had a bit of a headache and my chest was feeling weird and I was snuffling and, you know, but I think I'm okay. I think I was just exhausted after 11 and a half months of working 6.5 to 7 days a week. So I think that happens every year. After I've done Murder Mile, I'm exhausted. So that's done. I'm ready for Christmas. I'm good. I haven't actually cracked open a beer yet, which is weird for me. I've got a tea on the go. I know, Christmas tea. Oh, and I've got some frosty fondant fancies. I've got the dairy milk open already. As mentioned, got nice, good bacon. Oh, classic bacon, lovely, on the way. And some good bread and some good ketchup. And that's the way to start a day. Oh, looking forward to that. Oh, anyway, here's a Christmas carol for you. Lovely. Chestnuts roasting on a... Na 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 na. Anytime, anyway. Merry Christmas. Na na.
There you go. You don't need to know the lyrics. You can just enjoy yourself. So, part of this episode, what I wanted to do, as you can tell, I've had a coffee already. I've had lots of sugar. Bit hyper. Good. That's what Christmas is all about. Just a thank you for everyone for this year. Everyone's been really good. Thank you so much for listening to Murder Mile. Whether you're new to the show or whether you're a long-term listener, thank you to everyone. Do you know, everyone's left really nice messages. Everyone's left lovely reviews and all the kind words really help. Also, the donations to the podcast have really kind of kept things afloat throughout kind of quite an unpredictable year. But you don't need to donate to the podcast. That's just if people can do it. Simply supporting the podcast, just you know, sharing it with your friends or saying, "Hey, I like this on Twitter." That kind of really helps the podcast. It's word of mouth is amazing. That's the kind of thing you can't buy. I know people kind of spend a lot of money on their podcast doing Facebook ads and crap like that, but it doesn't work. It's like all it really takes is one person just to go, "I like this podcast," and someone goes, "Oh, okay, I'll give that a go." It's, you know, good words help, bad words don't. So, what are we going to do? Let's do a question. Okay, throughout the year, the people have kind of asked questions about Murder Mile. So I thought, let's use this as a fantastic moment to springboard some of those questions. Now, I can't remember who asked these questions because they've just popped back into my head. So I apologise, but here are four questions. Okay, question number one. Don't worry, it's not a quiz. There's no quiz in this episode. Question number one. Where did the idea for Police Constable Arsenal Guinness come from? Right, okay. Originally, okay, when I was starting to do Mini Mile, that's after when that second moment when I was like, oh, I don't want to do Murder Mile anymore, because I'd had a bit of people with legal problems complaining about the podcast. They really got me down. So I shut down the podcast. But then when I started up again, I wanted to do something different. So I thought I'll do Mini Mile. That kind of helped me get back into the rhythm again. And I wanted to do a kind of a police character in there. And I kind of got the voice in my head and I knew I wanted it to be a kind of a piss take of old fashioned cop, English cop to coppers, where they go, "Evening all." And, you know, when they're in court reading out their details, they've got kind of, it's a Cockney accent, but they've kind of got a bit of a posh inflection in there. And there's kind of the misheard English. I was walking along the street when I did hear from the aforementioned, you know, there's the kind of that. So I'd got that kind of voice in my head and I was like, oh, I need a name for that character. And I was sitting there writing down and, you know, trying to come up with a sergeant this and constable that, and none of it was really working. And then, you know, because a good mate of mine, I won't say his name because he's undercover saving London from all serious crimes. A good friend of mine, over the last couple of years, has gone from doing a job that he really hated. We always said for years he looked like a copper. In fact, we often called him Tosh because he looked like Tosh from The Bill. And he became a copper, which is really exciting. And he absolutely loves it. And it popped into my head. I was like, it'd be really funny to do a character that only he would recognise. Only he would know the joke. And I was just like, he's a police constable. He likes Arsenal. he loves Guinness. So that name popped into my head. It's like, Police Constable Arsenal Guinness, the Metropolitan Blood. Now, obviously he doesn't sound like that, but I'd already come up with the voice first. But there's a lot of kind of details in there that are kind of, you know, PCAG related, which is good fun. I still call him Arsenal all the time. PCAG. and it is funny when I get messages. But I'm not going to say anymore because that ruins it. Right, okay, question number two. Ages ago, someone asked me, where did the character, "Hiya, Acast here," where did that come from? So that's in Mini Mile as well. That is a character for... around that time, the podcast was still building. I just kind of signed up with Acast and it was really hit and miss about when I was going to get an advert. Because obviously, if you're a celebrity, you kind of like... If you listen to like any podcast... I'm not going to besmirch them, but like I listen to a lot of Mark Lamar's stuff. Mark Lamar? He'll hate that. Mark Kermode, the film critic, although he does call himself the fat Mark Lamar. That's his words, not mine. I like his podcast because I like films and stuff like that. That's what I listen to in my spare time, is film stuff mostly. But when you listen to his podcast, because he's famous, he gets like loads of bespoke adverts from Acast. Like he'll get a Mercedes, then a mini one, then the theater, then, like, do you know, things he gets, like really great stuff. And I sometimes think, when am I going to get an advert? And it's, you know, sometimes I do. Sometimes I do, but they're slowly creeping in. So with Minimar, what I wanted was kind of a break point where I could put in an advert, whether it turns up or whether it doesn't. And I thought, let's do the voice of someone in Acast. Now, I've never heard anyone with a Acast here voice. But when I first met Acast, they were really nice, really good people, really genuine, they were a really good team. But I met some of the people, I can't remember whether they're sales or PR or whatever, but they said, yeah, we really love your podcast, da, da, da. And I was like, oh, that's really nice. And the more I started chatting to them, the more I realized they've never listened to the podcast at all. They're just being nice. And the point came, it's happened twice. And, you know, they have to deal with a lot of different people. So I kind of get it. You know, you're working at a high pressure all the time. And they kept calling me by the wrong name. I think they kept calling me Matthew. And I think at one point someone did call me George. That could have just been a slip. So that's where the character came from. The hiya, Acast. But the bit where they call, hiya, Mac, that's different. So that's actually a different character. Years ago, I was on a kind of a drama writing course. And I met a really nice guy called Mark. And we were sitting side by side. And the tutor who we had was this Italian guy. And he was really passionate about Italian, about drama. But he was so Italian, it was hard to hear him half the time. It's like you could get every third word or something like that. And he'd go, okay, right. Next, I want to hear from Mac. And he'd say, I want to hear from Mark. But he would get Mark and Mike confused. It sounded the same. Mac. No. So we'd go, who are you talking to? Are you talking to Mark or Mike? Mac. Which one? Mike or Mark? Mac. Okay, which one's that? It just kept going on for ages. So we kept winding him up. So it's half that character as well. But that's kind of where, hiya, Acast here came from. And I kind of enjoy it. And it's quite fun. Do you know, I've been to a couple of Acast Christmas parties. They're obviously not doing one this year because of COVID and stuff like that. But it's funny. I kind of walk into the room and I see them and I think to myself, how many of them have actually heard it and heard that character? And do they see themselves in it? I enjoy it because the kind of the characters that I've created have got more and more ludicrous every time with all of the things that they enjoy doing. If you enjoy Minimar may be coming back next year. Did we do any this year? I can't remember. I don't think we did. I think I did Meander Miles. I don't think I've done any Mini Miles this year. So yeah, next year, maybe some Mini Miles. Okay, another question. Cool, I haven't even thought about this one. What is your favourite episode that you've done? Obviously, everyone has their favourites. And I think a lot of people seem to love Blackout Ripper. And obviously, Reg is a big one. That's kind of... and I think... what else is in there? Yeah, I still love episode 40, the Glyndor Michael one, the one about the homeless guy. I think what I tend to find is it's always these episodes that you think to yourself, these people aren't going to like it because it's not proper true crime. But I think that's what I try to do with Murder Mile, is try and give you something, make it different, make it surprising every week. Because I think I listen to quite a few podcasts and there's nothing worse when it's the same story every week and it's the same, especially if you've got a formatted idea like I do. So it's kind of, I think it's important to shift it up, to change it, to make different eras, to make different styles and what it's about. And the Glyndor Michael one, I thought, oh, everyone's going to hate that because there's no murder in it and there's no real victim and there's, you know, it's not really a murder. But actually, it turned out to be, I thought, one of the best episodes. So I really enjoyed that. What else was there? Again, it's kind of like the baker's wife. Do you know, the brutal life of the baker's wife? Susan Moyer, who was beaten up by her husband. So again, not a murder, i.e. with a weapon and a motive and things like that. It was just a kind of daily life, but it was the daily grind of life of two people who didn't love each other anymore and fallen out of love, and they had to keep working, and he was a nasty, angry man, and she had kind of got no energy left, and he's just beating her, and you know, she died horrifically. So I thought that was really interesting. It's all, I always find it's always the episodes that I think, ah, it's not really going to work. Like with the it's all these old ones, isn't it? It's kind of like the brewery one, the Mayo & Co. brewery. That's been in my head for years, thinking, I'd love to do that one. But, you know, there was no real backstory for the people who died. And that's kind of weird, because that's what I focus on in Murder Mile. But kind of doing that one, actually, and even though there was multiple victims who we focused on, actually that made it, that was fine. It was kind of, it wasn't really about a single person, which I would have loved to have done. It was more about all of these people that, you know, they represented everyone who was kind of in that slum at that time, and, you know, how badly they were treated by society, and, you know, the rich as well. So that was an odd one. So if I think of more, I'll come back. The next question was most surprising episode, but I think that kind of ties into that. That really does. Poor dear. Just to say, over the year, I've been adding more and adding more to kind of Patreon. If you're a Patreon subscriber, there is currently, I think it's like 100 plus ad-free episodes to go back through. We've also got a hell of a lot of crime scene photos that I don't share anywhere else. These are like, sometimes I share a few little bits on social media, but what I do is I save the bulk of it for a Patreon. There's also obviously lots of videos. There's an ebook with every single episode, and also you get a thank you card from me full of exclusive Murder Mile goodies that you can't get anywhere else, which is brilliant. So just to say, if you fancy doing that, it's only $3 a month, which in real money is £2. And while this is for everyone who's a current Patreon subscriber, because in January and February I'm going to be researching, so there won't be a lot coming out, what I'm going to do, I'm going to be putting out lots of secret videos. We'll do some Q&As and ask me anything. I'm going to be coming up with different ideas each week just to keep everyone entertained, and just to kind of thank everyone for subscribing to the podcast and keeping Patreon alive. That's kind of with the way everything is now, that's kind of become my main income, which is weird. When I started it like a year and a half ago, I thought, man, it'll be nothing. But actually, cool, it's really helped, especially with having no tours this year. Oh, yeah. Anyway, right, let's do a quick overview of... No, I tell you what, let's do another Christmas carol. Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. Away. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way, etc. There we go, that was good. That's to get everyone in the festive mood. It's not really Christmas yet, I've forgotten. I haven't watched Die Hard, I haven't watched Scrooged, I haven't watched Mickey's Christmas Carol, the 20-minute animation from years ago. What else do I watch? It's weird. It's kind of these movies that you have to watch, and if you don't, it's not Christmas. It's like New Year's Eve, I always have to watch Casablanca. I don't know why, I always have to watch Casablanca and have a good steak with a nice bit of mustard, and some potatoes and some green beans, and a really nice beer, probably something like a Duval or a Chimay or something like that. Oh, I've got some nice beers tucked away. Oh, that's today. I've got layer cake, which is the one that's part chocolate ale, part marshmallow. I've got the tiramisu flavoured one. I've got Jagged Edge. I've got Dead Pony Club. I've got some Elvis juice. I've got Leffe. I've got Ho Garden. I've got Abbott's Ale. I've got loads of different beers. I've got Guinnesses. Oh, it's going to be exciting. Anyway, I thought I'd do a quick recap of the episodes that we've had across the year for this season, just in case you've missed any. I thought that might be useful. So, start of the year, we started with The Beast, which was a three-parter. I'd never really heard of him before, so that took a lot of research. But that was that kind of horrific guy from I can't remember which part of. I think he was Polish. He's Eastern European. He's a paedophile and a rapist. A really horrible three-parter. That was the first one. Then we did the Lover's Death Pact. That was the one with the another Polish character. It's weird. The Polish colonel, Felix Sturber, and the woman he was so madly in love with that he killed her, and then he killed himself by throwing himself off a building. That was fascinating. Third came in The First Date Killer. If you remember that, the girl who met that guy, he was a fitness instructor, met him on for an internet. Oh no, met him in a club, went out on a first date with him. It didn't go well. She thought he was arrogant, and he brutally stabbed her to death and then disposed of her body in the woods. Horrible episode. Then the three possible murders of Vincent Patrick Carey. That was interesting. That was the one where the three guys said we just went in to steal from this guy in his flat. But when you look at all the different evidence that they gave and what you could find at the scene, there were three different possible ways this guy could have been murdered. Was it a homophobic attack, or was it a kind of a gay sadistic rape? It's hard to tell. Anyway, it was interesting. One of Vincent's family got in touch with me just to say how much they really appreciated the episode, of how honest it was, and also how accurately I told his life, and in a very sympathetic way, because don't forget, this is kind of late 1960s. He was a gay man. It only just become legal to be gay at that point, so obviously, you know, the stories around that time in the press were kind of, you know, not particularly nice about him. So I decided to write it in quite a sympathetic way. After that, we had The Last Gasp of Peter Buckingham. That was that interesting one about the lady who, she got two children, that got the bombings in London. I thought this was an interesting angle to take, because it wasn't kind of, you know, it's not a murder as in she wanted to make money out of something. It was like her emotional collapse, having been through the bombings that a lot of people had, how badly it had affected her life and her mental balance. And then, if you remember, she gassed herself. And I think one of her children died. I think she tried to kill both, but one of them died. So that was an interesting episode. After that was the Wormwood Scrubs police massacre. Which was interesting. I'd heard about that for ages. That's the one where the three policemen had pulled over that car. The car had some false number plates in it. The guys in there who were kind of big time gangsters were looking to steal a car. And what they could have done was they could have just apologized, said, "Oh, we don't know what this is," walked away. But they shot the guys to death, and it was a brutal, brutal massacre. And I think one of them is still alive. One of the gangsters is still alive today, and he's on release as well. After that, the Sad Face Killer. If you remember that was another one of those archival files where a lot of it had been redacted, especially about the murder. It was Agnes Mary Walsh. It had been redacted by probably a member of their family. So most of her death wasn't there. So we don't really know what happened there, but we know a lot about him, who he was, how the police tried to track him down. And then, if you remember, he went off and killed himself by shooting himself in the head. And I think he tried to set fire to himself as well. So that was a bizarre episode. Elizabeth McClendon and the Wrong Mr. Right. That was the lady who, I think she was... she was like a temporary maid to the King of Greece at the time. I could be wrong. And that was around VE Day. So when everyone was celebrating, this was a murder that was going on. Interesting one, worth going back to. I had a nice message from someone who knew a lot about that case and said, "Do you know what? It's nice that you told it accurately and fully and got a lot of the details right that a lot of people tend to get wrong." Because I use the original sources, as I do the original police files, I got everything as near as I could get it right to the original case. Whereas if you pick up stuff from the newspapers, you have to assume that they got it right, and often they get it wrong. So, so that's an interesting one. The Landor House Murders. That's a house that I pass quite often over in Westbourne Grove. I walked past it, didn't realise it was a site of a double murder and a suicide attempt. Successful suicide attempt. So check that one out, Landor House Murders. The Terror of Maltese London. That was the that was Amabile Rieker, who was the guy who was meant to be like a really horrific gangster that everyone was terrified of. And the Ferrugia brothers were like, oh my God, he's terrifying. We need to protect ourselves. But I wrote the truth about how he's not really a big time gangster. How, you know, have a listen to the episode. It's interesting. It's he's not big time. He's not a big gangster. Even though if you read about him in some of the books, people say he's a big time gangster. He wasn't. You've got to look at the truth to kind of dive into it. Had a lot of reaction from both Amabile's family and the Ferrugia's family, because I think they all kind of live in Southampton area. Weird that they're all in that area, and a lot of them got in touch. And it's interesting. There seems to be a lot of grandchildren associated with Amabile Rieker, and they're all trying to get in touch with each other. So, you know, that's nice. It's nice that something nice has happened through that. So, you know, I think Jenna is getting in touch. If you are a relative of Amabile Rieker, I think the gentleman who contacted me on Instagram, I put her in touch with you, and I think there's a lady called Charlie. I think I've got you in touch already. I need to double check that. But yeah, that was if you're related to Amabile Rieker, let me know, and I'll try and put you in touch with everyone who's trying to get you all together. After that was Elsie Goldsmith and The Parasite Inside. This was the one. Elsie Goldsmith, you know, quite a lady from a wealthy family. Obviously, she got pregnant. She was young. She didn't want to get pregnant. I don't think she was married by that point. Obviously, a big. That was 1927, so a big. You can't do it around that point. She wanted to have an abortion, which was obviously illegal. She tried every kind of avenue, and then she went to a guy who was using like an electrotherapy, stuff like that. Tried that out on her, and unfortunately, that killed her. So that was an interesting episode. A lot of people really enjoyed that, and it was nice. I got a lot of interesting comments from people who'd worked as midwives. They were kind of interested about the kind of the history of it, you know, because there's a lot of misconceptions and mistruths about the way a lot of illegal abortions are done, and this was one of those illegal abortions that wasn't allowed. But you know, people were trying out new things, so a lot of people going, that was fascinating to learn about. This has been used in a lot of legal cases as kind of evidence as well. But one lady did get in touch with me, and she said, I've been a midwife for blah, 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 40 years, and this is absolute bullshit. I was like, instead of getting angry, maybe you should do some reading. It's very fascinating. Some people are really weird. Zachariah Bullhan, The Terrorist Who Never Was. This was that episode to do with the Russell Square stabbings back in 2015. A lot of the story, as mentioned, was you hear the story about the victim side, and I thought, you know, that's been told quite a few times. Not to disparage them, you know, their stories need to be told and have been told, but I wanted to know more about him. And actually, the more you looked into his life, especially because it was around the point of a lot of terrorism going on, and because he was Somali, I believe, people just instantly went, well, it's terrorist related. But actually, when you look at it, actually, it was a travesty of kind of the mental health system that had failed him.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Moving on to that, we did Christine Granville, The Fall of a Forgotten Hero. That was another episode that was I'd been wanting to do for ages and I'd forgotten about. And I think it was Danny, wasn't it? Yeah, Danny had sent me a message ages ago saying, are you ever thinking about doing this? And I was like, yeah, but I think at that point I was about to shut down Murder Mile. And also I was still focused on Soho, so I hadn't moved out that far because this is kind of Earl's Court, Kensington Borough. So I hadn't moved out that far, but I put it on the back burner. And then I was like, ooh, because I'd moved for Reg Christie. As the further I go west, now I'm not Soho. Now I'm just West London. Also bits of Richmond as well and Kew. So, yeah. So I'm moving west, which is great. So West London's all in there. But suddenly this came on my radar and I was like, oh, let's get into this. And it was, this was the lady who... if you remember, she is the inspiration for Vesper in the Bond films, as played by Eva Green. And if you're looking for a fantastic World War II story, just check that out. She is just amazing. But as with many of the people who saved our lives, treated like shit afterwards by the government, and just the sadness of her life at the end. She deserves so much better. After that, obviously, these were all in lockdown. So these were lockdown episodes. Thank God I'd been to the archives and done loads of research. So because I needed to get into town to pick up my post, which I was allowed to do, I was on my bike. So I did the Meander Mile Chinatown episode, which was weird. Listen to that episode. I did it during lockdown. Chinatown was shut down. So I had to keep really quiet. And I was going past all these partly open Chinese shops talking about Chinese murders and triads. And it's like, it's like really weird. And then I did one after that on Piccadilly Circus, which is a return to the kind of the Blackout Ripper, but also some cases you and me have probably never heard of before. So that was an interesting dissection. After that, we did The Petty Grudge of Victor Castigador. If you remember, that was the Filipino security guard who claimed that he was ex-assassin for the Filipino government or the death squad, but obviously that was bullshit because he was only 5'1". It's interesting, a lot of people go, oh yeah, no, he was death squad, but it's like, no, if you do your research, if you sit down and do your research, you don't need to go through his military files, which you can't get, but if you just check the facts on the basic minimum height for someone in the military in the 1960s/70s in the Philippines, it was 5'4", 5'6". He was 5'1", if I remember correctly. He was way off anyway, and he was slightly insane as well. Anyway, we got that. After we did that, we did The Accidental Death of Amelia Pottle. This was another episode in Soho I'd been meaning to do for ages. This was the lady who was married to the kind of a German gentleman. He was very angry, wasn't getting any work. She was stable. She was keeping them stable in their living space. They had an argument. He hit her over the head with an oil lamp, set her on fire. As she was dying, she said it wasn't his fault. He's not responsible. And then she died. He didn't give a shit about her. He got off the death sentence and disappeared. Bizarre. Getting through them. The Martyr and the Massacre. If you remember, that was the assassination of General Michael O'Dwyer in the 1940s. And you kind of look at this episode and think, well, why would someone want to attack Sir Michael O'Dwyer, infamous general, blah blah blah, and you go back into the back history of the Amritsar massacre and Udem Singh. That was interesting going through his life story as well, and then you realise why did this man want to have this general massacred, assassinated, even though I've run out of steam at that point. Have a listen to the episode. It's really interesting. Another interesting episode, The Fatal Seizure of James McDonald, also known as Jack Esmond Murphy. A lot of people just call him Jack Esmond Murphy, but his real name is James McDonald. That was the one to do with the guy who has the Petit Mal seizures. So not big style seizures like a grand mal, but these are the ones where you're kind of in a bit of a daze and you can still exist, but it's almost like you don't exist at the same time. And he robbed a bank allegedly whilst within a petty mal seizure. Whew. After that, we had the five alibis of James Forbes McCallum. If you remember that was the guy who robbed the Coach and Horses pub in Covent Garden. He didn't understand how the kind of the spring doors on the bar worked. He swung one of the doors open. It hit him, hit his gun, went off. He shot himself in the arm and he shot the guy behind the counter dead. Managed to steal no money, and he did it all so he could marry his girlfriend because his mummy said no. Really weird. Another old episode coming up, The Beating of Baby Richard. That was a horrible story of Richard Higgs. We've heard of these stories many times about the Poor Law Amendment Act. Richard said if women weren't married, therefore the father of the child didn't have to support the child. Therefore, the mum had to work 3, 4, 5 jobs in order to keep the baby alive. This is an era when obviously women weren't allowed to have well-paying jobs or even sometimes just jobs. They had to have menial jobs, earning absolute pittance, working their ass off. She put a baby with some babysitters and they beat him to death because he was crying. Horrible story. The Elementary Murder of William Raven. If you fancy a nice mystery, check that one out. That was after that. I really enjoyed that episode. Mayo and the Man-Made Tidal Wave. That's the Mayo Brewery beer explosion. That's been a fascinating story. I really enjoyed that one. The Last Love of the Chiswick Cat Ladies. If you remember that one, that was Nora Tenconi. That were the two ladies in the 1970s who were kind of a nice little unit. They got their house and they were a couple and they were living together and they got cats and they were having a really nice life. Nora wanted to stay together forever, but her partner was kind of drifting away, was getting a bit fed up with her, and there's unfortunately a domestic murder. I enjoy those ones. I don't really like murders which are kind of serial killers and stuff like that. I like those little domestic murders because they're real and they happen. Of course, after that, we had the Thames Towpath murders. Three-parter. If you haven't heard it, check it out. If you have heard it, have a real good listen to it, because if you listen to it in a car or something like that, have a listen to these episodes with earbuds in. Because I really, like with every episode, I add a little stuff into the sound effects and stuff like that. And this one is really cautious. So to preempt kind of the scenes as you come in, what you kind of hear, you hear the sounds of water, so you know where you are. You'll hear the sounds of wind. You'll hear churches in the distance. Over time, I've gone from creating kind of a soundboard, a soundscape that you listen to, where it's a little bit obvious, and now it's very subtle. Like now I'm putting things in that you'd only hear if you're physically listening to it, because now I want to get to a level where a lot of the sound is subconscious. It goes into your soul, and especially in here. So I had a lot of fun with this, and even at the start in episode one, there's a little bit of a red herring in there where I can say now, because it's a boat going past. Merry Christmas. I can say now, like in episode one, you can hear that the kind of the two girls are going on a picnic with some boys, and you know in advance that the girls have been horrifically attacked by someone with a hatchet. And when you get to the picnic, it's getting night. You can hear the night sounds, and then you hear every time that it is mentioned about this young lad who's there, who are the last people to see these girls alive, and one of them has a hatchet. In the background, I always put a little, it's a fox call, a kind of in the background. Like, that's not a very good fox call. It's a bit shit. Sounds like a raven with a really bad throat. But that's in there. That's a kind of a subconscious thing to make you go, ooh, he must be evil. But it's not. I'm deliberately throwing you off. So I'm having fun with that. So that was good. Obviously, we did How to Get Away with Murder, the four-parter. That's what we did this year. I forgot about that. That was the murder of Bob. Hope you enjoyed that. That was just something different. If you haven't listened to it, give it a go. It's deliberately different. But the idea is, gear changes in the season. I think there's nothing worse than having the same old tired episodes every week. And I think what I've realised, if you have 10 in a row that's murder, 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 it's nice to have a bit of a gear change. Especially for me, it just kind of gives my head a bit of a break as well. So we came back to an episode that I really enjoyed writing, which was, I got some nice feedback from people, which was A Memorial to the Fallen. That was the one about Jack Avery, who was the policeman who was murdered in Hyde Park. But what I did was I focused on him, but also I focused on Frank Cobbett, who was the guy who murdered him. And in the papers, everyone said he was murdered by a crazy vagrant. But when you look into his life, it's quite sad. You know, he's a war hero. He's been forgotten. He's kind of, you know, all these rules that he had to abide by, but he wouldn't have known about them because he hadn't spoken to anyone for like 10, 20 years. And, you know, no one talked to him. He just lived in a private world. And it shows you the sadness of what it's like to live as a homeless man, a homeless person. After that, we had The Scattered Remains of Hannah Brown. Horrible episode. That's the Edgware Road Topaz Torso Murders. That's the guy who cut up his mistress and scattered her body across town. Lovely episode. Lovely. I think we did that. I did that for Halloween. Just in time to make everyone sick. Savas Dimitriadis and the Code of Silence. That was the petty dispute between the two Greek Cypriot men over. I think it was only a couple of pounds. I think it was like £3 that they were arguing over, but that led to murder because they couldn't back down, which was really, really pathetic. That was one of those episodes I went to do last season. I couldn't quite work out how to write it because it was just, there was lots missing from the case file and it was a bit wishy-washy. And do you know, a lot of people in the Greek Cypriot community just wouldn't talk. They refused to talk to the police, therefore there's not a lot of evidence. So that was a weird one, but I think I did an okay version with that. The 37 Seconds of Desmond O'Byrne. I enjoyed that one. That was a very recent one, 2017. That was the lovely man who, you know, he'd fallen on hard times, living homeless. A lot of people quite rightly said, you said he lived in a flat, but he was homeless. But don't forget, homeless doesn't mean living on the streets. Homeless can mean you're living in a bedsit, you have no fixed abode, do you know, you're being bounced across hostels, do you know, you might be sleeping on a mate's sofa. That's classified as homeless. So if you don't have a permanent residence, do you know, he could be living out of B&Bs. So all we know is that he lived in Pimlico, if I remember correctly. But that was the lovely guy. All he did was he very kindly asked if he can have a cigarette off a young man, and they kicked him to death. Was it one punch, one kick, and he was dead. He was in a coma, then he died shortly afterwards. A horrible episode. Whew, bringing us to the final three, The Incompetence of John Carragher. If you remember, that was the Freddie Monk one. It was the really, really nice cashier of a painter and decorator's firm, murdered inside his own locked office. But weirdly, nothing was taken. It's one of those kind of mystery stories. I kind of like those. They're really interesting. Then we got to The Lethal Evidence of Sir Bernard Spilsbury. That was the case to do with Dr. Crippen and the evidence that Spilsbury put forward for that, him and August Pepper, the doctor. But what I hoped with this episode to do, because we've talked about Spilsbury a lot, who was the Home Office pathologist who'd worked on the Patrick Mahon murders and the Blackout Ripper, and, you know, a lot of these cases, you know, his final case was the Charlotte Street robbery, if you remember from the first season, I think, first or second. And it kind of, that will throw it into context for you and make you think, should we really trust his information as a Home Office pathologist? Which interestingly brings us on to the final part we just did, which was the Camden Ripper, a four-parter, which starts and ends with a Home Office pathologist who was struck off the record because, well, I mean, if you haven't listened to it, it's not key to the information, but it's kind of struck off because he didn't do his job properly. So that was the Camden Ripper. I hope you enjoyed the Camden Ripper. That was one of those episodes I almost didn't do. I thought there's not enough out there. But it was only when I found the original files that they did. It was the inquiry into the treatment of Anthony John Hardy as a mental health patient within the authority of Camden. And that was interesting because there was bits about the murder in there, bits about his early life, bits about how badly he treated his wife. but also him. And I, by going through that case file, it was interesting. When I first read it, and it's a lot, it's like, I think it's like 240 pages, and it's a lot of legal stuff and a lot of doctor kind of spiel and stuff like that. And I was like, oh my God, I don't understand this. But then I reread it and I was like, actually, that's interesting. They don't quite know who he is. And I think that's how I attack this episode. That's how I do it, is go, okay, there's no definition of exactly who he is. And I don't think he even knows who he is. But there's these four distinct kind of characters who he is or who he portrays. So as mentioned, it was the alcoholic. The alcoholic, the addict, the sadist, and the maniac. So when you listen to those four episodes together, it's interesting. Episode part one, you go, he's actually quite sympathetic. I've deliberately written it that way because he's a homeless alcoholic, kind of, you know, struggling through life on the London streets. And you go, that's quite sad, actually. But when you get all the other episodes together, all of a sudden you start listening to what you listened to episode one. And when you've listened to episode two, three and four, then you listen to one again, you go, oh, I see. Okay, I see where that fits into the slot. And is that real, or is that manipulation, or is he really mentally unwell? Is he really an alcoholic? It's like there's... I kept writing a little note to myself saying there's no definition, there's no conclusion. Just put all the facts in and let the audience decide. Like, I did a lot of editing on it. There was a lot of things that I ripped out and I was like, that's too on the nose. That's me saying, this is what you need to think. I was ripping that stuff out and going, right, leave it to the audience to make that decision. So I hope you enjoyed that. While I'm away over January and February doing all the research, there's 150 plus episodes for you to enjoy. Ooh! So even January, February, even if you were to listen to two a day, core, that would keep you going until I come back in end of February, start of March, which would be good. And then we'll do the same again. We'll just power through the year. So that's going to be good. Hopefully in January, my plan, which is why I've had a COVID test, I'm hoping to go and see my dad, which would be nice because I haven't seen him in 2 years now. Unfortunately, every time I've probably mentioned before, every time he tries to come down, my stepmom come down, we've had a heat wave, which meant they couldn't come down. We had ice storms, we had torrential rain, and it became a running joke. I was like, please don't come down anymore because you're bringing crappy weather with them. And I couldn't go to see him because obviously mum and gran were seriously ill, so a lot of time had to go. And then all of a sudden I realized I haven't seen dad. So it's 2 years since I've seen my dad and my stepmom. So that's why I've had a COVID test. And I he's, you know, he's got bad asthma, and he's in his mid-70s, and I don't want to turn up and give him anything. He's got a weakened immune system, so I don't want him to die, really. That's what I'm going to do there. So hoping to do the research in January. I was meant to, a couple of days ago, 23rd of December, I was meant to go into the National Archives. But because London is in a Tier 4 lockdown now, we're proper tier. We're Tier 4, not Tier 3. That's for losers. We're Tier 4. This is for high-profile, highly infectious people. Oh, yeah. Lovely. The London streets are dead. I actually, to go and get my COVID test, I had to go into Fitzrovia, and the streets were dead. It was terrifying. But it was good. I got a chance to go to the bank and have a good chat with my banker, which is very good. Makes it sound like I have a personal banker. I don't. It's just the lady who was there to help me out, which is very good. So I'm hoping to go into the archives, do some more research, but the National Archives has shut down again. So I don't know. I've got some files ready. What I'm thinking about doing is, if I get, because it's only limited time now. Before you used to get like 9 a.m. until 6 or 7 p.m. Now it's only like 10 till 2. So what I might do is just get some files, run in really quickly, mask on, photograph, literally loads of files, every page, just come home and do the research there. So I'm going to try and do it that way. And that'll be that. But hopefully, I've got some interesting episodes, hopefully, for next season. And some big multi-parters as well. I've got some reserve episodes that I've always had in reserve, ready to kind of power through. Which brings us... Da, 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 da. Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. No, no more of that. Here is, just for you guys, a very special Christmas message from a very special Murder Mile celebrity.
Hello, hello, hello. All right, folks, this is a special message to all the Murder Mile listeners from the real Police Constable Arsenal Guinness. Yes, I am real. No, I don't sound like Michael's impression. But yes, I do like Guinness and Arsenal, but I prefer Pippa to Kate. Even though I'm on duty saving London from all sorts of crimes, I wanted to wish you all a very Merry Christmas and to announce that in the coming year, Michael and myself will be recording a special podcast series called New Blue. It's about my real life experiences as a bobby on the London beat and the truth about what it's like to be a policeman. It'll be coming to Murder Mile very soon. Have yourselves a great new year and stay out of trouble or you will feel my truncheon.
Yes, folks. That was the real Police Constable Arsenal Guinness on a Metropolitan Plot. As you can hear, he doesn't sound like that at all, but it is funny. I do like it. I do like doing his an impression of him to him, even though it's not him, but it is in a way. Anyway, yes, so exactly as the real Police Constable Arsenal Guinness said, New Blue. So this is an idea that I came up with ages ago when PCAG started to become a copper when he was in training. I came to with an idea. I think he'd just come out of training and I said, I've got an idea for something that I want to try out on Murder Mile, a little 2 or 3 part series to go across the with Murder Mile called New Blue. And it's kind of what it's like to be a real copper, because he's kind of same age as me. He'd been in a kind of a career that he really hated. And as mentioned, you know, then he became a copper and it suits him. He looks like a copper and he really loves being a copper. And, you know, I love sitting down with him and having a good old chat about kind of his daily life. And it's so what I want this episode to be is it's not going to be about cases. It's not going to be about murders. It's not going to be about investigations. What I find interesting about sitting down with him is just the minutiae, the day to day of stuff. That's what I find fascinating, is just like what it's like to be a copper, what you have to deal with, you know, not specific cases, but kind of if there's shoplifting. This was kind of interesting. It's shoplifting and someone says, oh, okay, this person stole from me or whatever. And it's interesting sitting down with them and going, okay, what can you prove? What do you have to do at that moment in order to get a resolution for this case? Why is it that people kind of think, oh, do you know, people seem to think that you can just, oh, the CCTV. Not everywhere has CCTV. Not all CCTV is good. It's like, do you know, that you can't really prove a lot of stuff. So that's what I want to get into, the kind of the day-to-day stuff. And, you know, if things like, someone is stealing like a can of Coke or something, how much time does that take a regular policeman off the street? What is the paperwork you have to do? That's what I'm really looking for. So hopefully it'll be a kind of a three-parter about the training you've got to go to be a copper. Then it's kind of hopefully part two, first year as a copper, and then, you know, what it's like to be a copper now and kind of looking forward to the future and, you know, modern policing. So that'll be good. So I'm looking forward to doing that. Idea is that I'll probably record that January and February. That will probably go out, I'm guessing, June time. I'm thinking, because I'll do a run of Murder Mile episodes, and then middle of June we got Crime Con, as mentioned. So that is, it's either 12th, 13th June. It could be 19th or 20th. My brain, I haven't got the details in front of me. It doesn't matter. If you go to any of my social media, you will see it there. If you use the code MILE, you get 10% off, which is great. But what I'll do is I'll play out those episodes when I'm at Crime Con, because that'll give me some time off, which I'll enjoy. So that's called New Blue. You don't have to subscribe to it anywhere. You just keep listening to Murder Mile and it will come into your feed probably June time. So I'm looking forward to that. And it will give me time to kind of sit down, edit it properly, and make sure that PCAG is happy for it. So thank you very much, PCAG. We will have a nice day recording that. We'll do some bacon sarnies. We'll have some lunch. And then when we've finished, we'll have some Guinnesses. Lovely. Right, on to the final part of the episode. Oh dear, this is when things get exciting. So, special competition time. Ooh, does life get any better? Right, this is a special competition. So, There is going to be, how many did I write? There's going to be four prizes. So, first winner is going to win a Murder Mile mug full of goodies. So, Murder Mile mug, the exclusive key ring, all of the badges, fridge magnet, thank you card, all of that. And then the next three winners after that, so the runners up, will each get a thank you card with all the goodies and the key rings and all that. Right. So, this is the quiz. It's not really a quiz, it's a competition. So, my good friend, Joe Barron, thank you very much, Joe, the sci-fi author of the fantastic Sarah, the Empress of the Galaxy, an excellent sci-fi novel. If you're looking for something that's really engaging, but also you want something that's got a really fascinating female protagonist, check that out. Fantastic sci-fi novel available via Amazon. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put a link in the show notes. So if you want to check that out, check out Fantastic by Joe Barron. It's called Sarah, the Empress of the Galaxy. This came about randomly. I was in the pub with Joe having a chinwag and a couple of beers, and he did an impression to me of someone who's famous in the true crime community. And it made me laugh, and really chuckling away. And then, like a week ago, I said, "Joe, can you do an impression of that for me? Send it to me, and we'll do that as a competition." So this is the competition. In a second, Joe is going to do an impression. All you need to do is send an email to me at mmiletours@gmail.com. I'll do a link in the show notes. Send me an email, and the first four people with the correct answer of who this person is, the first person to send me a correct answer gets the mug. The next three will get an envelope of goodies. I will notify all of the winners before New Year's Eve, and I'll post the names on social media as well. So if you don't win, don't get in contact, because you know, I can't let everyone know. It's going to be too time consuming, but you know, you understand it anyway. Right. Okay. Here we go, people. Joe is going to do an impression. All you've got to do is message me and say, who is that person? Here's the impression.
He was, without doubt, the most evil, vicious, callous killer there's ever been.
That's pretty funny. I just listening to that, I know full well that Joe is also doing the mannerisms as well. I mean, this is an audio version, so you won't be able to see that. I can't see it, but I know full well that he's doing it. So let me do that impression again. Here it is.
He was, without doubt, the most evil, vicious, callous killer there's ever been.
Okay, that is someone who is famous in the true crime community. Maybe you watch them on TV. Maybe you've listened to their podcast. So let me know. First three people, first person to answer it correctly. All you've got to do is send an email to mmiletours@gmail.com. Link in the show notes. First winner, I will notify them. We'll get a Murder Mile mug of goodies. The next three will get an envelope of goodies. You'll know that you've won because I'll email you within a couple of days saying, hey, this is great. Please send me your home address and I'll post it to you, which is fantastic. So thank you very much for that, Joe. That's fantastic. You'll either know who this person is or you won't know who this person is. This is not one of those people that everyone's going to go, oh, I know who that is. It's like you either know or you don't know. But if you know true crime, yeah, it's one of those famous faces. So that was it. Ooh, before we go, right. I want to do some thank yous. We got some new Patreon supporters for the year. So this is the final episode of the year. So I've got four to do. And just to say thank you to Thomas Kanakula. Oh, I knew I was going to get this wrong. Thank you very much to Thomas Kanakula. I hope I got that right, Thomas. I apologise. Corin Todd. I hope I got that right. Rob Douglas. I've definitely got that right. And Sally Chrisman. I've definitely got that right. So thank you so much for that. Also, a thank you to Ruth for your very kind donation via supporter. It's very much appreciated. All of these donations go to keep Murder Mile alive, and it's very much appreciated. So thank you very much. Thank you much to the patrons. Thank you to all the donators, and thank you to everyone for listening to Murder Mile across the year. It's been very much appreciated. Your your support of the podcast is fantastic, and all the lovely messages has really helped. So that's the end. This is the last episode of 2020. It's been a shit year, but bollocks to it, we're having fun anyway. Let's forget about it. Let's have some drink. Let's have some mince pies. I've got a Battenberg ready to go. I've got mince pies ready to go. I've got lots of crisps, vegan crisps, obviously, for Amy. And lots of treats. I've got some of those German biscuits, those Lebkuchens, are they called? I've got loads of those to eat. Oh, I'm going to be so fat. I'm fat anyway, but I'm going to be even fatter. The boat is going to capsize. I'm so fat, but I don't care. I'm hibernating for winter. So that's it. Thank you very much, folks. Murder Mile will return either at the end of February or the start of March. You'll know when it's turning up because I'll do my usual. I will play a promo the week before with a date, just so you know. But it'll be Thursday, as always. Oh, dear. Thank you very much, everyone. Stay safe. Have yourself a good Christmas and a new year. And I'll see you in 2021. Stay safe. Be good. Lots of love. Bye-bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.